You have a Bible today, turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. It's a blessing to have you all with us today. Real blessing. Trust that the Lord speaks to your heart and ministers to you today. Whatever the need is, our God is able to meet every need. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Galatians chapter 6, we're just going to read one verse, the first verse. And this verse is so important because it helps us be a blessing to other people. The Lord obviously is a blessing to us. Christ dwells in us and we do his work and his labor of love, and that's ministering to people. The Bible says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And let's ask God for his help today. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Spirit of God that can open a heart that it might receive wonderful seed and produce great fruit for you. I pray, Lord, that you guide everything that's done now. Help me as I speak. Help our people as they hear. And may you be glorified and honored by all that takes place today, and we'll thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. It says there in that text, "ye which are spiritual." There's a lot of talk about what spirituality is. And so we go to the scriptures and we find out what the Bible says about spirituality. We're not talking about religion. Sometimes religion is hard and it doesn't really accomplish anything. It's just the law and people don't enjoy it at all. Our churches would be filled if people were spiritual and enjoyed the Lord. All of our churches would be filled because we would be praising the Lord. Anyway, how do you know if you're spiritual? According to the scriptures. We're going to look at that today. Amen? And I think it'll be a great blessing to you. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Paul is writing to the church at Colossae, and he's saying, "I'm praying for you that you have spiritual understanding." And obviously they did. If you read the book of Colossians, there's a great church established there. How contrary that was to the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth was a very carnal church. They were believers, but they were very carnal. And in 1 Corinthians 3:1, Paul said, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as unto spiritual." So he says, "but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." He couldn't give them the meat of the word. He had to give them the milk of the word because they were not spiritual. And I think as we grow in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the work that God does in us, it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And he opens our understanding. He opens our mind to the truth of the word of God. And there's a progression here, and we'll see this as we get into the message. In Revelation chapter 2, in the Bible in chapter 3, there are seven churches that the Lord is speaking to. And at the end of every instruction to those seven churches, the Bible says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." So God really wants us to listen. Are you there? Are you out there? Okay, so people are listening and you're hearing my voice. But the important thing today is that you hear the Spirit's voice through my voice. I will read the scripture, which is God's word, and then the Spirit of God will take that, because the Bible says the Spirit will guide us into all truth and thy word is true. So God wants to speak today. I just told the folks before you arrived, I said, you don't have to believe my stories the way I tell them, but we can all believe the word of God. Amen? Because that's what's important here. In John chapter 6, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. In verse 63, he says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So the Spirit quickens. The Spirit makes alive. And when the Spirit is present, then the word of God becomes alive to us. And we understand it. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul said this to the church there, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the very word of God, which worketh effectually in you that believe it. So as the Bible is being preached or taught, this church was receiving it. They were receiving Paul's instruction, but they were receiving it as the very word of God. I think that's important too. There's three things I want to look at today, and my sermons are usually about 4 hours, so I'm going to condense it to about 3 hours. I'm kidding. There's three things about the Holy Spirit of God, and a lot of people don't know these. The first thing is, to become a Christian, you need to be born of the Spirit. After we're born of the Spirit, then the Spirit leads and directs our lives, because it's the Spirit of God that dwells within us. And then the third thing that I want to notice today is the Spirit gives us joy. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And this is what God does for us. Christianity, living for God, being a spiritual person, is not a dull life. It's not a depressing life. It's a life that's filled with joy and peace. And a lot of people have never experienced that because all they have is religion. They've never been born again. They've just thought, well, if I do more right than I do wrong, or if I obey these laws, or if I plug in here and do this, I'll be okay with God. And the Bible says that God sent his Son into this world to die for our sins. Amen? And so we know that we're sinners and that we need a Savior. In John chapter 3, Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, a very religious man, very religious. And Jesus said to him, "Ye must be born again." And Nicodemus says, "How can I be born again? Can I enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born? It just doesn't make any sense." And he says, Jesus said to him, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Ye must be born again." Here's the verse. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. How is a person born again? They receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. They ask him to forgive them of their sins. And the Bible says that is being born again. In Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans 8:9, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So I accept the Lord as my Savior. I am born again. Now my life opens up. It's a wonderful, wonderful experience because God is dwelling in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's a Spirit-filled life. And so we come to the next point. We are led of the Spirit. He guides our life. He directs our life. He shows us what is profitable and what is unprofitable, what is a blessing and what is a curse. And that is such a blessing. Amen? There's so many people, they're just kind of wandering through life. Well, I think this is right. I think this is wrong. And they have no idea. But the Lord gives us assurance that we can know that. Isaiah 30:21, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. The Spirit of God does that for us. In Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I'm quoting a number of verses now because I want to lay a foundation, and it'll have a little more liberty in a minute when we get into the message. But it shows over and over again in the Scriptures, Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Ezekiel 36:27, I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments, and ye shall do them. The Bible is the Spirit of truth. Thy word is truth. It is a spiritual book. It's a book that God wants to guide us with. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so he leads our lives and he shows us what is profitable and unprofitable, what is spiritual and what is carnal. In 1 John 4:6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So we're not to walk in a spirit of error, we're to walk in a spirit of truth. Blessed is the man, do you know this psalm, someone? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's how it starts out. So we don't follow a multitude to do evil. We follow the Lord. And God makes it very clear how those steps need to be taken, the direction we need to go. And then we come to the third thing. This is being filled with the Spirit. Everything that happens in your Christian life as you mature and grow, it gets better and better and better. There's a song that sometimes we sing. It's, I'll never forget that song. What was that song, Richard? Oh, it gets better as the days go by, or sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. And that is true for the believer. He's born again. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. So we start reading this spiritual book. This really has an effect on our life, and so God leads us. But something else that God does for us, he fills us. I mentioned the verse, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All of these things are the blessings of God as we grow in the Lord. Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. And again, what is the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, all of those things. God says, be filled with that. In Ephesians 5:9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The Spirit is involved in eternal life, a purposeful life, and a joyful life. It's all the Spirit of God. And he does it like nobody can do it. There's a peace that passeth all understanding. There's a love that is beyond knowledge. There's a joy in the Lord that is our strength. It's just a wonderful, wonderful experience. And people that have never accepted Christ as their Savior can't experience that because they've never been born again. And then they've never been led of God. And then they've never been filled with the Spirit. So today, if you're here, you may have religion. You may pray. You may do this. But the important thing biblically is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Eternal life is to know God. Purposeful life is to serve God. Abundant life is to enjoy God. I like to enjoy things. Don't you like to enjoy things? I don't like to go to a basketball game and my team loses. I don't like that. I don't like to go to a smorgasbord and it's too crowded and by the time I get up there, all the chicken's gone, you know? I don't know what you're going to do today, you know? But there's so many, I'd like to enjoy things, don't you? I like to come to church and sing, have good fellowship, spend time together with other believers. Joy is an important part of our life. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. God says that. And if you've never experienced that, I would invite you to experience that today. To know, to serve, and to enjoy. That's God's plan for our life. Remember Paul when he said, Lord, who art thou? And when Jesus revealed who he was, the next thing that Paul said was, what can I do? What can I do? And so we follow on to know the Lord. Some know God, but don't serve him. Some know and serve God, but don't enjoy him. Some know God and serve him and enjoy him. That's where the Lord directs us. He wants us to have that joy in our heart. Christians know God. Some serve and some enjoy. Not everybody enjoys the Lord. Psalm 100 verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You know, it's real easy to make this a negative message, and I'm certainly not going to do that. But Scripture notes our wrongs we do to the Holy Spirit. Vexing, quenching, tempting, resisting. Lot vexed his righteous soul in seeing and hearing the sin of the land. And so he was grieved because he did that. And we're not talking about that. In John 6:63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So the Spirit is the divine agent and the Word is the divine instrument. I am sure, because where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. I'm sure God is here today. And God wants to be a part of everybody's life here. Whether you need to be born again, whether you need to begin to serve him, whether you need to enjoy the joy of the Lord, whatever the need is, God can meet that need. He can meet the need of a young child and an older gentleman because God is able to do all of that. There's a Christian by the name of Watchman Nee, and he wrote a number of books. One was The Joyful Heart. One was the spiritual man, one was the release of the Spirit, the release of the Spirit. And he talked about the importance of brokenness. There's an inward and an outward man. When we are born again, that which is born of flesh is flesh, okay? By the way, if you ever come back, my birthday is on December the 6th. And you could come back and bring me presents, you know? And you can bring cookies, I like cookies. So remember, December the 6th. Or you can just send me a card with $5 or $10 in it, amen? Amen. Amen. And of course I'm joking, but I have a spiritual birthday. I also have a physical birthday, but I also have a spiritual birthday. When I was 22 years old, I'm going to be 72, but when I was 22 years old, almost 50 years ago, I accepted Christ as my Savior and I was born again. That's when I became a child of God. I've been preaching for over 45 years and I want to tell you that God is real. And God can give peace in your heart. And God can give you comfort when you need it. And God can direct your life and give you a joyful life. The importance of brokenness. The inward man, the outward man. Christ in me. This is what God wants to do. Sometimes my flesh fights at. In Galatians chapter 5, the previous chapter to where we read to open the service, there's the flesh and it wars against the Spirit. And sometimes we don't do the things we should. That's because the flesh is winning. Sometimes we do and follow the Lord and please the Lord. That's because the Spirit is winning. I heard somebody describe it one day like you got a black dog and a white dog. If you feed the black dog and starve the white dog gets weaker and the black dog gets stronger. If you feed the black dog and you starve, did I say that? Am I saying that the same way? Okay, flip that, yeah. And you see, one gets weak and one gets strong. And so as we follow the Lord, we have that spiritual strength that God gives us, and it is such a blessing. But he talks about brokenness. And he says, why is there no revival? And he said, it is basically the outward man has never been dealt with. For this reason, revival, zeal, pleading, activity are but a waste of time. There is just one basic dealing with which can enable a man to be useful before God, and that is brokenness. Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done, didn't he? Paul said, I'm ready to go up to Jerusalem. I'm ready to be beaten there, but I'm ready to die also for the name of the Lord Jesus. And you have all of these stories in the Bible. John 12:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus is speaking, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. It's an interesting statement, but we know that from nature. And so that's planted and it breaks open and there's fruit that comes from that. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. So we die to our own wants, our own wishes, and we follow the Lord. And that's where there's fruit in our life. In 1 Corinthians 11:24, speaking of the Lord's Supper, this is what Jesus was speaking to his disciples about. He was getting ready to go to the cross and he said, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, the bread, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. And because his body was broken for us, because he died in our place, then we can have life. Because he said, you have life as I have had life. And he gives us that new life. Psalm 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. David, in getting right with the Lord, said, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me, and restore unto me the joy of my salvation. So you see that progression again. The joy of his salvation had to come from a clean heart and a right spirit. And God can give that to us. There's a story in Mark chapter 14. I think I will read a few verses there. If you want to turn with me, you can. Mark chapter 14, you don't have to. I will begin reading in, let's see, verse 3 of Luke chapter 14. And being in Bethany, should I wait till everybody gets there? Okay, I'm waiting. Okay, verse 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, As he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the world, the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial. She broke the box. This was about a year's wages, and she broke this box, and the ointment came out. John chapter 12 is another interpretation of that story, and it says when the box was broken, the odor filled the house. The odor of the ointment filled the house. And here's Judas, he was the betrayer. He said, why wasn't this sold for this much money? We could have fed all these people. This, he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he held what was in the bag. He was the treasurer. And the disciples were murmuring. And Jesus said, nothing is ever wasted on the Lord. You cannot waste your life. You cannot waste your time. You cannot waste your substance by doing something for Almighty God. She broke the box, and that released this wonderful odor. Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. One preacher prayed this, one missionary. Lord, for the future of the church, for the future of the gospel, for thy way, and also my own life, I offer myself without condition, without reservation, into thy hands. What is being broken? I don't know. A lot of you, I've just seen the first time in my entire life, okay? I know the people that come here, but you that have come today, what is your need? Do you have a spiritual need? Do you want to know God, the true God, the God of the Bible? How does that happen? Sometimes, you know, we're so intense on thinking that we have everything figured out that we don't let God speak to us. But today, let God speak to you. And if we will just say, not my will, but thy will be done, and let the word of God speak to us, something great can take place today. A salvation of a soul, a new direction in life, a peace where there was turmoil, joy where there was depression. God can do all of those things for us. A contrite heart is a broken heart for sin, and it's deeply affected with grief. But it can be turned into joy in a moment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12, the Bible talks about what happens in our life, and it compares our service for God or for religion to wood, hay, and stubble, and gold, silver, and precious jewels. And it says one day the fire is going to try that, and the wood, hay, and stubble is all going to be burned up. And that's speaking of our motives and what we truly believe. And the wood, the gold, the silver, and the precious stone also speak of our motives, but there's something that is done for Almighty God. And so whatever we do for God that we enjoy doing for God, that's gold, silver, and precious stone. If we're made to do it, if we do not want to do it, if there's all kinds of complaining and turmoil, then it's wood, hay, and stubble because the motive is wrong. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Back in Genesis, I think it's chapter 29, Jacob works 7 years for his bride. The bride's father said, now you got to work 7 years for me to have Rachel as your wife. And so he worked 7 years, and those 7 years seemed to him as but a day for the great love he had for Rachel. He loved Rachel so much, said, yeah, I'll work seven years. Boy, isn't that a good kind of love? Isn't that the way we all have our love in our homes right now? Amen? Yeah, sure. But still working, yeah. Mary and Simon's house, she broke an alabaster box. She poured it on his feet. She loved him because because he had done so much for her. They're singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Joy and rejoicing of my heart is to find the word and to read it. There's a story in the Bible about Mary and Martha. And Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus listening to his word, but Martha is busy. She's working, and she's getting mad at Mary because Martha's doing all the work. And so she goes and she starts complaining to the Lord about Martha, her sister, and the Lord said, or Mary, her sister, and the Lord said, Mary hath chosen the good part. I don't know if you've ever been doing something for God and you didn't have any help and you were getting mad at the people maybe that weren't helping you. That ever happened? Doesn't have to be church stuff. It can be anything, you know, but certainly in something for the Lord, we have a privilege of doing something for God. There's a verse in the Bible, and at our church is supported by the gifts and the offerings of our people here. And the Bible says, the Lord loveth a cheerful giver, but he doesn't want us to give grudgingly or of necessity. So we come to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and in that chapter it says, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, I do something out here, but it's not in my heart, it profiteth me nothing. Though I give all my goods to feed the poor and have not charity, it's all outward, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So what we do for the Lord profits us when we do it for the Lord. Amen? And we count it a privilege to do it for the Lord. That's the secret of the joy. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. I think that's so wonderful. I'm saved, I'm led by the Spirit, and I'm filled with the Spirit, filled with the joy of the Lord. In the book of Matthew, there's Jesus and he's teaching. The Jews were under Roman control, Roman government. And Jesus told somebody, he said, if they compel you to go with them 1 mile, go with them twain. And the rule in Rome was they could take any of the bondage, people in bondage, and make them carry their load for 1 mile. But Roman law said you can only do it for 1 mile. So you could see they were using people to carry their load. And Jesus said, if they command you to go 1 mile, go 2. And that's where we get going the second mile. The first mile is law. The second mile is grace. The first mile is you have to do this. The second mile is you choose to do this. And that is the principle of Christianity. If we're only doing what we're compelled to do, it's a miserable time. I really don't want to do this, but I'm supposed to do this, and I'm supposed to be in church, and I'm supposed to do this. That's not a good, happy, joyful Christian experience. But when it's, you know, I don't have to do this, but I want to do it, that's where grace is. Amen? I am so glad that you all came here today. And we prepared a little extra. We have deviled eggs. You like deviled eggs? Anybody like deviled eggs? Okay, we struck out there, okay? We have little Smokies. They're little sausages. Anybody like those? Come on, help me out here. Not even our people like them. And then we have some rolls, some sweet rolls. Anybody like those? Yeah, okay. But I mean this from our heart. There is no mistake that you're here today. There's no mistake. God arranged this in eternity. You're here today. I'm here giving the word out. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What I've said is true. It's all out of the scriptures. Whosoever, Romans chapter 10, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to invite you to do that if you've never done it before. And if you do it sincerely, God will save you. And he'll come to dwell within you. His Spirit will. And you will be led. And you will be filled. And you will enjoy God. And your life will be profitable for the Lord. very profitable for the Lord. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Just pray. Just pray. If you're here today and you want to ask Jesus, who died for your sins, to be your Savior, to forgive you, and to give you a home in heaven one day, I want you to pray this prayer with me. It doesn't have to be the exact words. It's just meaning what you're saying in your heart. You don't have to say it out loud. God can hear the prayer of your heart. Just say something like this: Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying in my place, for paying the penalty for my sin. Please forgive me. Be my Savior. Please take me to heaven when I die. In Jesus' name, amen. With your head still bowed, please, just one more moment. If you said that prayer, nobody's looking around, would you just slip your hand up, put it right back down? Slip your hand up, put it right back down. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Father, bless all of us today, Lord, wherever we're at, if we need to be born again, if we need to be led, if we need to be filled. May we break our will. May we submit to your will, Lord. And may we enjoy the blessings of Christianity. Thank you so much for your kindness to us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's stand. Would you?